Blog Talk Radio.
I'm crazy about you.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a live one for you tonight, a very good show planned, and I certainly hope that you'll be with us tonight. We're going to go ahead and invite the presence of the Lord into our program tonight. Father God, we invite you into our program tonight, and we ask that you would direct, lead, and guide by ordering our steps. Help us to take more from the program than we bring to it. These and other blessings, we thank you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. All right, so tonight's topic is kind of a continuation from last night's topic. Last night we talked about what it means to be a true friend. Well, this one goes a little deeper because tonight we're talking about, we're asking the question, can you be a friend of God? Let's go ahead with the International Committee and bring in the Honorable International Minister and man himself, a man after my own heart, Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Well, it's great to be on the call, and we got interesting topics tonight. Can we be a friend of God? Looking forward to a great call. Dr. Walker, we just thank you for all that you're doing for the global community. And not only you, but the people who are here to serve and support you in your global endeavors.
Well, we certainly do appreciate that. And let's go now to another man who's very near and dear, not only to my heart, but he's touched so many people around this globe just by him being on the show. He's Brother Lorenzo, known as the Demon Slayer. Welcome, Demon Slayer.
Thank you for welcoming me to the show. It's going to be a great show tonight, and I love all y'all, man, and let's get rocking and rolling on this.
All right, excellent. All right, Demon Slayer, we're going to start with you tonight by asking the question, can you really be a friend of God? I mean, how can you? I mean, that's the best friend you can have, but how can you be a friend of God, or can you?
You talking to me? Oh, I thought you were talking about Benny from the block.
No, we're calling you.
How can you be a friend to Jesus?
Yes. How can you be a friend to God?
All you got to do is take on this Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? Get the reading scriptures and meditating and things of that nature and really have a passion for serving the Lord and trying to get to know him. It's just like a friend. You know, you meet a friend and you're starting out meeting them and y'all get a bond together, then, you know what I mean, you have a true friendship. It'll last forever till you hit the grave, you know. So that's kind of friendship. That's what kind of friends you're trying to have in your life, because he's got to line up with God. And all the other people that you have in your life are like serpents. So you just cut their head off and keep it moving.
Like serpents, cut the head off and keep moving. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here. God called Abraham a friend. What makes you think, why do you think God called Abraham a friend?
Well, for one reason, I feel, is because of his meekness. He was a very meek person, and And even in Isaiah, you know, they was meek, you know, God called them God called them friend, you know, and we can be a friend of a God by following his examples, you know. Even Judas had betrayed him when he came to arrest him and capture him and take him. Jesus called him friend, you know, and that's something, you know, when somebody come and destroy you, you know, then to take you, and Jesus called him friend, and as a reason for that, we should follow his example, and we'll talk, we can discuss that later on during the show.
Okay, excellent, excellent. All right, so tonight we're talking to you, just join us. Can you be a friend of God? Okay, Brother Lorenzo, Demon Slayer, let me bring you in here. We talked about what it means to be a true friend. So is there a difference between being a friend of God and a friend of man? What do you think?
No, I think it's all in the same. You know, I think it's he tells you how to be a friend, how to be close to somebody. You know, it's all about how you perceive people. You know what I mean? You know when somebody's doing you wrong and you know when somebody's doing you right. So you try to line up with the Holy Spirit of what he's trying to do. So God ain't got nothing but good things lined up for you. And the devil got the bad things lined up for you. So all you're trying to do is weed the people out and just choose the good over the bad.
Okay. While we got you here, Demon Slayer, why would you want to be a friend of God? Would you want to be a friend of God?
God is the best friend you can ever have. He ain't never leave you down. He's not going to leave you. He won't betray you. He won't tell you lies because it's no lies that are in him. So you looking at the opposite of that is Lucifer, old Beelzebub. So, but you have people out here that have two faces. So they try to line up with God, but they don't have the fruit of God. And then they can go back and doing evil. So those people right here might try to do you bad, but you still got to weed it out and say, hey, look, you're not lining up with God. You know what I mean? You're supposed to be my friend. So act like one. A true friend, I try to make it right. But a person that want to try to do you wrong, he'll do you wrong and then try to get over on you and then leave.
Okay. Pastor Ro, let's bring you in here. We talked about what it means to be a true friend. Let's look at it from a human perspective now. Pastor Ro, what is a true friend? A true friend. Is a true friend somebody that will be, and the Demon Slayer was talking about last night about being a snake. He clearly identified, you know, what a snake is like, that will bite you like a serpent and smile in your face and come and be bitten, poisonous, and bite you. So, Pastor Ro, a true friend, you said last night on the air, will stick by you closer than a brother. So identify, give me the characteristics of a true friend then.
Well, you know, we've heard the saying, you know, a friend in need is a friend indeed, you know. So a true friend, you know, will, when you're going through needs, whether it's financial needs, physical needs, emotional needs, you know, they are there with you to pray with you and be with you to encourage you, you know. And like you said, they stick close to you. You know, that's a true friend. But last but not least, a true friend will not betray your trust.
Okay, so let's take some of the scenarios that we have here. So, Pastor Ro, a true friend. Could a true friend make a mistake and you forgive them and still be friends with that person, Pastor Ro? They make a mistake, and yet you forgive them and you retain that friendship.
Well, you can't do it on your own, you know, because we got this human nature still in us, you know, and the flesh is warring against the spirit, and the flesh is warring against the spirit, you know. So, we are trying to align ourselves with the character of God, and I'll say this, so I don't take too much time. You can't be a true friend unless you put on the whole armor of God, not the part armor, but you got to put on that whole armor and so we can be like Jesus. You know, that's what we strive for. But friends, we can and will betray you. So at that point, I'll leave it at that so I don't take too much time.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, we're going to bring you back in here and ask the question. I'm going to ask the same question. Can you just forgive your friend because there was a mistake or an argument, and then you make up and say, okay, we're friends again? Can you do that?
Yeah, you can do that, man. You know, everybody makes mistakes, man. But it's levels to mistakes, you know. It was a mistake, you know what I mean? We had a little a difference, and it got a little bit out of hand. Yeah, you know, so we can come back together. You two friends, you'll come back together. So you know what, man? You know, hey, my bad. You know, we got a little got out of hand. Emotions got into it a little bit. I said, hey, look, man, we still good? And say, hey, yeah, we still good. But as far as you screwing my woman, we ain't going to do that. We ain't no forgiving it. I mean, I can forgive you, but I can't mess with you no more, bro. No. It's levels of okay. It's level two mistakes, you know?
Okay. All right. We're certainly going to ask both of you all to stand by. Can you be a friend of God? That's tonight's topic. And so we're going to talk now a little bit about what makes God God as opposed to and being a friend as opposed to having a human friend. So, Pastor Roll, I want to begin with you, and I want to say, give my contribution to this, is God's not going to lie to you. God's not going to betray you. God's not going to leave you. He's going to always be there for you, who will stand by you closer than a brother. And we use that expression because we're talking about a bloodline. You know, he said, I will never leave or forsake you. And so when we're going through something, Pastor Roll, there are times when we feel that God is not there. Have you felt those times when you feel like maybe God's out to lunch, God is busy with somebody else, but God, I need you now? You know, Pastor Roll, talk to me.
Well, you know, I understand what you say, and I have to agree with my friend and my brother, Brother Lorenzo, you know, and he used the word screw, mess with my woman. Man, I'm going to slam dump you, and if you don't mess around, I'll kill you. You know,
okay.
But we have to, you know, take on the character of Jesus. I mean, think about it. I mean, that's what it's all about. We're trying to align us with Jesus. I mean, what are you going to do? You're on a cross, and they spitting on you and sticking spears in your side, you know. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he commended us, his love for us, and while we was yet sinners, what did he do? Christ died for us, you know. So in this human nature, you know, you mess with my woman, you in trouble, like Brother Lorenzo said. But as day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, I want to be like Jesus, you know. He was a friend. And I'll say this to you. What you going to do when somebody bringing a whole bunch of people to arrest you for, you know, you want to get pieces of silver, a little money? You know, but Jesus, you go to the scripture, I can't think of what scripture it is right now, but Jesus called Judas a friend. You know, friend, why have you come to? That's what he said. Friend, why have you come to do what you're about to do? You know, so it's all about catching the true spirit of Christ. And it's hard in this human flesh. You know, like me and you say, they got Avenue D's in every city. You know where I'm coming from because you're right next to me.
Yeah.
You know the kind of personality and nature that we have, you know. And I'll say this to you right now in honesty because we want to be transparent, you know. We all got that Avenue D mentality in us, man. You like, brother, you mess with my woman, man, you in trouble, you know. I want to have the spirit of Christ. You know, and that's the way we're going to make it. And you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it unless you put on the whole armor of Christ. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, and that's a very good example there. The scripture you're referring to is Matthew 26:50, where Jesus called Judas a friend. So let me stay with that just for a second. Was Jesus being perhaps figuratively speaking to call him a friend, knowing that he was getting ready to betray him? So could we take the same thing, Pastor Roll, and say, I'm going to call this brother a friend, knowing he's not a friend, am I just figuratively speaking, or am I literally speaking, that this is a friend? But a friend would not betray you. So why would Jesus call him a friend?
Well, Jesus is Jesus, and we all striving to be like him. But there's a scripture that says he commended his love for us, and while we was yet, what, sinners,
right,
Christ died for us. But can we, call a person a friend, you know, when he's despitefully using us, so on and so forth? But when all is said and done, and I don't talk too long, we have to, as some say, we want to be like him. You know, all I want to, I don't know how that song goes. We want to be like Christ when all is said and done. And
right,
it's hard unless you put on the whole armor.
Okay. Let me ask you, Demon Slayer, we're going to bring you back in here, Demon Slayer, and ask the question. Okay, like Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I took that to be interpreted as they're sinners, they're humans, God, Jesus is in such a spiritual realm that he knew the human frailty, and they didn't know what they were doing. They were out of their minds to persecute the Savior of the world. And so he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So as followers of Christ, Demon Slayer, Brother Lorenzo, I'm asking you this question. So why can't we do the same thing? So when somebody does mess around with your spouse, that you can't say, Father, forgive them, but forgive him, for he know not what he does.
I mean, we all try to strive to get close to Christ, you know, but we're all humans. We have emotions. Some people deal with emotions different than others. You can have that same thing happen if you screw somebody's woman and he out there to kill you. But you have the other person, he'll just walk away. It's two way of perceiving things, you know what I mean? So you can look at it a point like, you say you got a friend, right? And y'all been friends a long time, right? And so he does a little things, and then y'all still cool. But then he does something to that magnitude. How did you know that guy didn't have that in his heart all the while? He was just sticking close to you just to get to your woman. That's a lot of things you got to look at. You know, when you're looking back and you start analyzing your friendship with the guy, of course I can forgive him. That's a fool's note to keep letting a guy like that hang around you. You know, you don't do redundant things like that that make you look stupid. You know, I think it's all right to forgive somebody, but you don't have to be hanging around him either. When Judas did that to Jesus, he didn't hang around him, you know. So why should we? We all human.
Okay.
We got emotions, man. Yeah.
Right. Very interesting point. All right, if you're just joining us tonight, you all, we're talking about, can you be a friend of God? God called people friends. He called Abraham a friend. Pastor Roll, why do you think he called Abraham a friend?
Because maybe he saw in him the spirit of gentleness, the spirit of meekness, and he saw that spirit, not only what he was, but the potential in him and what he could become. And I just want to say to you, when Jesus was on the cross and they was, you know, doing all these things to him, he could have called 10,000 angels and they would have come and rescued him, you know, but he didn't do it. He had to, you know, fulfill his purpose, you know. And so I'll just say is that God is going to take care of his children. You know, when we're going through these difficulties of life, you know, God can send his angels to rescue you, to take care of you, you know. Do you feel that this reciprocal, that God is going to allow you to be violated and whatever without somehow or another coming to your rescue? It's all about trusting and believing in God and have the spirit. It's the spirit of forgiveness, you know.
All right,
and,
you know,
there's a point in my life I got to become, but I haven't got there yet. And that's why, you know, I read my Bible, try to be more like Jesus, you know. But, you know, if we cry out to him, do you think the God that we serve is going to let us be, you know, violated or whatever? You know, you got to cry out to him. Say, Lord, help me, you know. But most of us haven't reached that point yet, and we're striving to be like Jesus.
All right. Now, theological research shows us that it was Abraham's faith. It was his faith in God that caused God to call him a friend. And so can the rest of us, can we be a friend of God if we exercise that faith? And we know the story about Abraham taking his only son, Isaac, up to slay him because he was told to do this by God. The faith was that it was in his obedience. So if we're obedient like that, Pastor Roe, could we be considered a friend of God in these times?
Oh, yes, because obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's a perfect example that I just think of Abraham, you know, I mean, offering his only son. My God, my God. But God saw in him the spirit of obedience. And that's why God could call him friend, because he had, and you used the word faith, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, he had the faith, and others were, he called friend, had the meekness disposition. You know, the Bible said the meek shall what?
Inherit the earth.
Inherit. There you go. So you're going to inherit. I mean, the Bible don't lie. You know, but what is meekness is not weakness. You know, meekness is a strong word. You know, that was in the Beatitude. The meek shall, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You
right.
know, we're not to be peace breakers, but peacemakers. And there's a lot of folks out there are peace breakers, you know. And like I said, and I'll just talk to you in a common vernacular, if you violate my trust sometime, you know, I can be a peace breaker because I wear your blessed assurance out, you know. But that's the human part of me. But when all is said and done and this message is going before the global audience all over the world, you know, we all want to strive to be like Jesus. And we work
all
on
right,
it, not only daily, but hourly and by the minute. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right. We certainly appreciate those thoughts. You know, Demas Lee, I want to bring you in here when we talk about being a friend of God. Was Moses, was Moses considered a friend of God? If so, how? What, I mean, we're trying to look for what is it that these people, what, if anything, did these people do that maybe we could model or emulate to also be called a friend of God?
A true friend of God, I'm going to tell you something. God knows your heart. And with the full armor of God, I think it's more of how you was raised or how you grew up. Certain things in your life have a meaningful way of you, the way you perceive things in life. You know, if you went to a group home and all that stuff and you saw somebody hitting your mother and stuff like that, that have a resounding effect on how you think, you know. Regardless of if you had the spirit or what, you know, I didn't have the spirit back then, but I went to church. And stuff like that. My parents, it's the way that they, you know, they raised us. You know, it's a way of perception. You know, when we was growing up, it was just work and school with my parents. He didn't play no games, and he stood. And he meant what he said. He said what he meant, you know. And I got locked up one time, you know. He told me, hey, okay, I'm going to get you out this time. Then the second time I got locked up, when I called him, he told me what I say and hung up the phone on me.
Mm-hmm.
That right there teaches you that God's not playing with you neither. I mean, I felt God in there locked up in the jail, you know what I mean? So I said, okay then, I got to get myself out of trouble. That taught me that, you know what I mean, I got to start really, really thinking before I make moves. So I started incorporating chess with the way I live, you know, thinking before you move. So I don't really – then. You start to getting close to God, your decisions get better and better. You know what I mean? Like certain things are going to happen to you. And in that spirit, talking to God and get you out of things like that, you know what I mean? Even if you walk in there and you see your old lady screwing somebody else, that power of God ought to keep you from killing somebody. And that's what the power of God does for you. You have to really think about that when you're dealing with situations like that at hand.
Okay, very good. All right, so, wow. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here now. A friend. When you talk to your friend, oftentimes, would you say it's fair to say you're talking to your friend face-to-face? Is that fair to say? Or at times you might talk to him on the phone. Is that fair to say, Pastor Roll?
Well, that's true, and a lot of people do that, you know, because of fear of, you know, getting face to face, you know. But I'll say, God see, you know, like you mentioned Moses and some of the others, God, and they call him friend, but God can see not so much what we are, but what we can become. You know, everybody loved Moses, you know, because he brought him, you know, out of Egypt, you know, so everything going good. And then pretty soon them Egyptians, the enemies of God, not the friends of God, they begin to chase him. And that friend, all of a sudden they begin to say, well, what you going to do now? What you going to do now? You know, they're about to kill him. What you going to do now? And then Moses, you know, I mean, he was a tough man, a powerful man, but he cried out to God, Lord, you know, help us. And then God spoke to Moses because he had that spirit of obedience and listening. He said, what you got in your hand? You know, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched forth his hand, and the Red Sea parted. You know, so God delivered them. But then when they all got out, then God caused the water to come back on the enemy. You know, so when all is said and done, you know, we have to cry out to God, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And God will hear you when you cry to him. These people that were called a friend of God, they had the spirit of meekness and obedience to God.
Okay, so you're saying that Moses had the spirit of meekness. Well, Moses threw those tables down. Remember that? He smote the people. He threw those tables down. So how was that meekness, had the spirit of meekness in there? Moses was no wimp.
Right. But there's a growth, growth process that we all have to go through, you know. And, you know, he learned from that, you know, if he was a tough guy, but he cried out to God, help me, help me. And a lot of times that we got to get to that spirit, you know, of obedience and crying out to God, because he will hear us when we cry to him. You know, Lord, help me in this situation. And we always use the example, you know, what you going to do? You know, some of the illustrations that we have, if this person is doing this and this person is doing that, you know, where I'm at right now, I won't be no crying out. It'll be wearing somebody out. You know, when you're messing with my lady or my woman or something like that, you know. But when all is said and done, I want to be like Jesus and have the spirit of Christ.
All right. So, Pastor, let me bring you back here for a second. You say you'll be wearing them out. They're blessed with assurance. But what if the woman wanted to be that person? You know, if she wanted
to
be
that person. Well, then I would slam dump her and go on with my life.
All right, we're
going to
ask you this.
I'm just saying that to you, you know. I mean, there's
right.
a place in Christ that I got to grow, and I ain't got there yet. I'm working on
okay.
it.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Brother Lorenzo, the Demon Slayer, we're going to bring you in here now and ask the question that we asked Pastor Roll a moment ago. When you're talking to your friend, oftentimes you talk to your friend face-to-face, FaceTime, or over the phone. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's clear to say, yeah.
Okay, so then what Scripture tells us that actually God spoke face-to-face with Moses. So yet we're told, can't no man see God's face and live? How do you interpret that?
See God's face and live. I guess you got to have you have to have faith, man. You know.
Well, Exodus 33:11 talks about that. You know, it talks about Moses. He spoke to Moses as a friend, face to face. But then it talked about when Moses went up into the mountain because he saw the burning bush. The scripture tells us that he saw the backside of God. So now, is this a conflict or a contradiction when we're told that you can't see God's face and live?
Oh, no, that's a whole. You know, see God's face and live. You know what? I think it can be another analogy to that. You can see God, but then you can't see God. You can see God in some things that you do, like every day. Some people, like if you're in the spirit, right? You can see God working in your life, like with the little details that you got going. But a carnal person won't see it. But if they get in trouble and go get in jail, the first thing they say is what? Please, God, help me. Or if you in an airplane about to crash, regardless of how much money you have, the first thing you're going to cry out is God. So really the people that don't really believe in God start believing at that time. But I guess it depends on the scenario that you're in, to how much faith that you really have in God. Do you only call on him when trouble comes? Or do you always count on him every day, getting close to him, reading, meditating, things of that nature? Who are you? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Me, personally, I love being close to God. I love the heart. I see him in my life. He's blessed me all over, you know. But you got to have your own relationship with God. He knows your heart, so you can't fool him with that.
All right, we're going to go ahead and ask you to stand by. We're going to go ahead at this time and welcome in Dr. Patty Case. Dr. Patty Case, it's always a pleasure and honor to have you with us. Welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Thank you.
Yes. So, Dr. Patty Case, tonight we're talking about, can you be a friend of God? Dr. Patty Case, start us out with your contribution here by telling us, in your opinion, what is a true friend? We talked about this last night on last night's show. But what is a true friend?
I think a true friend is someone that is always there for you, for starters, in the good times and the bad times. They're there when you don't even have to ask for help, right? They know if you're in need, you just show up. So a good friend shows up, and they're honest with you. They won't sugarcoat things to you. They'll tell you like it is. That's a good friend. And someone that's obviously loyal and that has love toward you. I think that's part of it too.
All right. So in that case, can we compare our true friends, what we consider to be our true friends, can we really compare them to God, Dr. Patty Case?
Okay, so can I compare my true friends to God? That's really hard. I want to say, it's so hard to compare anyone to God because it's like he has, you know, there's attributes that God, that like it like parallels and certain things like overlaps, right? Like because he's, you know, kind and generous and not self-seeking and like all these things that makes a person so amazing. But I don't know that my friends could be like God, but then in the same respect, like I saw the question for the show and it's like, but there's so many things where God, when you have that relationship, he is like a friend. So that's really confusing.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Roll, let me bring you back in here. So we talked about friends can make a mistake, and we went earlier and we were talking about what would separate the friend, the human friend, from being God as a friend. And we know that one of the things is God's not going to lie. He's not going to leave or forsake you. He's going to be there closer than a brother, and we talked about the bloodline. So now if God is of such, does he expect us to be as loving to each other as he is to us?
Well, what comes to my mind is the Apostle Paul. We know all about him. You know, he said, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels or principalities, and so on and so forth, nothing can separate me from the love of God. You know, and he was a human being, but, you know, we know what he did. You know, he was Saul at the time until he met the Lord on the Damascus Road and he was struck off his horse. You know, he was killing God's people. But when his eyes was open, do you hear me? When his eyes was open, he saw God in his skin-laden beauty. You know, he didn't really see him because God knocked him off that horse, you know, and he was blinded. You know, if you, I mean, you can't look at God and live, like you say, Moses of the backside, you know, not the front side, you know, but see God in all of his skin-laden beauty, so on and so forth, you can't do it and live, you know. But we strive to let nothing separate us from him. And it takes prayer. You know, he changed. You know, he didn't have that Avenue D mentality when he met God. You know what I mean when I say Avenue D, being, you know what we mean, you know. But when he showed up, saw God, it was a change in his life. And that's what we got to do, is look to, you know, to, for that change. And, you know, there's a song that says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. You know that song.
Absolutely.
You know, you know, it brings tears to me. You know, I mean, we want to be like Jesus, you know. You can't do it. I'm telling you. You can't do it unless you got that whole armor on, you know. And for the head and for the breastplate and the loins girded about with righteousness and the, all these things, you know. But we noticed that it wasn't nothing for the backside, for the backside. That's because you ain't got to worry about your back. God has got your back. Why? Because surely goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life. God has got your back. So that's my comments on that. We're striving to be like Jesus.
All right, so Pastor Roy, while I've got you here, we're going to call on Suzanne in just a moment. Suzanne, we appreciate your patience. We're just waiting for you to press one. So Pastor Roy, the question becomes, now, didn't God cause Saul to fall off of that horse on the road to Damascus, you know, that he was on, so that God could, because he asked him the question, why persecuted thou me? So didn't he cause him to make a change?
Well, you know, when he got knocked off that horse and, you know, that he saw the light, you know, but what happened? You know, that just the light, you know, he became blind. And he had to go find his way to go to whatever his name was. And he touched and prayed over him, and the scales was removed. And then he could really, you know, see spiritually, and the scales had been knocked off his eyes. So some of us need to, including me, need to have scales knocked off my eyes so we can see Jesus in all of his scintillating beauty. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Going to ask you to stand by. Dr. Patty Case, I want to bring you back in here now. We're running out of time, you all, so we're going to go as fast as we can. So, Dr. Patty Cakes, I mean, how could I possibly become, or how can any of us become a friend of God? To be called like Moses, like Abraham. He called them friends, but he also called Judas friends. So how could we possibly do anything, if possible, to be considered in that category?
I don't know. So, I mean, when we think of it in that respect, it's like, oh, we have to do this thing, like you're just describing, like this achievement, this thing to be a quote-unquote friend of God, but then he, like, knows all of us so intimately. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. So it's like, I think that, you know, to God, it's not like we're not – one of us is better than the other one. So I would think that we could all be a friend of God. I mean, I don't know the criteria. I obviously don't know for, you know, what's real, but I don't know. That makes sense to me.
Right. Absolutely. So we're going to ask you to stand by. Suzanne, we're going to bring you in here. Susan, we're going to bring you in here. Susan, in your opinion, and thank you for your patience, what would you say, you know, if you were to be a friend of God, does it require anything? Is there an eligibility requirement to be a friend of God, in your opinion?
I'm sure it does, but I consider myself more his child than a friend.
Okay, and what's the difference, being a child as opposed to a friend? What's the difference, if anything?
Well, I don't know if there's a whole lot of difference, but I've always considered myself as being his child, his daughter. So I go to my father for counseling or assistance, advice, whatever, whenever I need it. So I've never considered myself a friend.
Okay. All right. So we're going to actually stand by, Suzanne. Demon Slayer, we're going to bring you in here and ask you the question. If we're, what would you rather be, a child of God's or a friend of God's or a servant of God? If you had a choice of the three, a child of God, a friend of God, or a servant of God. And let me break them down and how I'm interpreting these. To be a child of God, I think we bring some bias when it comes to our children. If this is, and Dr. Petty, Kate, I want to bring in here before we bring Brother Lorenzo back in. And so, Dr. Petty, Kate, say your children. Would you say your girlfriend, a good friend of yours, will come before your children?
Definitely not.
Okay, so definitely not. So we're going to actually stand by there. So Pastor Rowe, let's look at the servant part. Pastor Rowe, so a servant, would that servant come before your spouse or significant other or your children?
No, sir. Nothing comes before, you know, my children or my spouse, you know. But, you
right,
know, when all this
stand by. Right, we're going to actually stand by. Sorry to interrupt, and I'm making a point here. So, Brother Lorenzo, when it comes to a friend, we already talked about, we heard what Dr. Pattycake said, that a friend would not come before her children. So, you know, because that's her children. So, Brother Lorenzo, if you're a child of God, then does a servant or a friend come before you being a child of God? Help me understand that.
Oh, none come before God. Nothing.
Okay, so then which would you want to be? A child of God, a servant of God, Demon Slayer, or a friend of God?
All
if you
three
had...
of them.
Okay. All right.
Now, I'm not even going to pick one. All of them. All
okay.
Three of them. Now.
We're going to ask
God
you to stand by.
And the Holy Ghost. Yeah, all three of them.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Hey, you want the Trinity now. Okay, Pastor Rowe, what was you? I know, Pastor Rowe, you've often said that you want to hear those words, those two words. So, well done, right? My good and faithful servant. So what would you want
right.
to be if you had to fit in a category, a friend of God, a servant of God, or a child of God? Which one?
Okay, if I just had to pick one, and I had to pick one, it would be a servant of God. And I've always said this,
right.
The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to
right.
give his life as an answer for many. So what we want to be, and this is important, give me 10 seconds to say it, we want to be servants of God. And God wants us to support you in your global endeavors to help these children out here that's crying for food and they need and abandon and all of that. And if we are servants of God, how can you be a servant without being a friend? So, like, we are here to support you. We are servants of God through helping you with these seven countries that the Lord has so graciously given to you. And I want you to know that we, and I can speak for everybody, we're going to work with you to hold your arms up and to make sure that your vision and purpose is fulfilled. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't even be on these calls. I'm here to love you, brother, to help you, and I admire your vision and purpose and what you're doing. And we're going to partner together as servants of Christ to help you serve and support hurting humanity. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
We certainly appreciate all that you do, Pastor Roll, and all of you all that are out there with our sponsorships. So let me just add, Dr. Pettacase, I want to bring you back in here and ask you that very question. Would you prefer, because now here I'm breaking it down a little bit. When they're your child, that's preferential treatment. But we're all God's children. But now if you're going to categorize and say, are you a friend of God? Friends aren't perceived, and Dr. Pettacase, you say the friend does absolutely, and you use the word absolutely not. The word's absolutely not. Does not come before your child. So which category would you want?
Well, when you were asking Pastor Roll, I identified with the child of God because I know that the bond between a child and the parent is like the most amazing, special bond, the unconditional love that you receive
right.
as a child. You are loved immensely beyond measure, beyond comprehension from your parents. And obviously from God even more so. So I think that kind of love is just so special, and it feels good to be that loved. And so I feel like the child of God for me, for sure.
That is absolutely brilliant because, okay, so now let's take a friend of God. A friend, and we're looking at the human aspect of friendship. So if I've got a friend is not coming before my child under any circumstances. I'm like you, Dr. Pettacake, on that, and I believe we all are. And so that friend is not, you know, there's no comparison. A servant, servant is someone who's come to serve. That servant can't come before my child either. So when we look at it this way, Suzanne, and I want to bring you back in, when we look at it this way, so we're all God's children. But now has God given us a different, because we're all his creation. So now has God, in your opinion, given us a different title, perhaps, that we're all his children. However, we're also, he can be called a friend. He created Moses. He made Moses, Abraham, but he called them friends. They were his children as well. Or was it that they matured, now they're grown, and Moses was able to see him face to face? So was that a difference? He's no longer God's child. He's just God's creation. Suzanne, talk to us.
Well, yeah, he's still God's child, even though God may have called him friend, because he also was his servant as well.
Oh, very good point. Very good. Suzanne, that was a very, very good point that you brought to us, because you're absolutely right. And this is where I'm going with this, you all, and thank you for bringing that to us, Suzanne. Even though we're God's children, we're all his creation. We're all his creation. We're his children. But God went beyond with individuals that he categorized or labeled to call them a friend, someone who's he's close to. You know, he's close to his children. He brings us everything. You know, he's created everything for our benefit. But yet and still, Moses was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend because it was their faithfulness, their directions, their instructions, their leadership that God compelled them to have, and their obedience to do these things. So he called them a friend. So I believe also that we can be called a friend of God. When we have that faith, we exercise that faith. We're his creation. And if we're out there to be his servant, Abraham was his servant. Moses was his servant. And if we're out here to serve, as Pastor Roll was saying, like the Son of Man, I came not to be served, but to serve, then we can perhaps look at ourselves as a friend of God. Brother Lorenzo, is there anything you want to add to that, being a friend of God? Your opinion. All right, perhaps we'll come back to Brother Lorenzo in just a moment. Dr. Patty Cake, so when we set
hey,
up...
You said being a friend of God.
Yeah, is there anything else that we can add? We talked about being a child of God. We all are. And then we talked about Moses and Abraham, how they were called a friend of God because of their faithfulness, their obedience,
right,
the sacrifices
right
that they were willing to make. So God called them mm-hmm friends. So can we also become, we're the children of God, can we be the friend of God and the servant of God if we're serving?
You know what? I think you can be all three. Because as you grow closer, I'm going to speak for myself. As you grow closer and closer to God, it's a certain realm you get to, you know what I mean? And you look at problems different. As a true friend, I have friends to this day that have been my friends a lot of years. So I would put them as that. As a child, I look at my children. You know what I mean? Would I sacrifice one of my kids? That's very hard to do. So I can understand where God's coming from. But that, what kind of faith would I have if I didn't sacrifice? But me, I would do it. Maybe he'll stop me, or maybe he won't. But I will do that. As much as I love God, I would do it. As a servant to God, I'm here to serve him. And I can't go to hell at 4:45 in the morning and kick the gates of hell down if I didn't serve him. So I'm trying to be all three of them.
Okay, so now let's go back just for a second, Brother Lorenzo, because when we're a servant of God, what actually is a servant of God, in your opinion?
A servant of God is just like a servant. I mean, I do what he tells me to do. You know, if you get a close relationship with God and you get to reading scriptures and really start diving into those scriptures, you can really understand that, you know, I'd rather, you know, it's only two people that you can serve. You can either serve the God or devil. It's not a middle ground. So I take my chances with God because he's helped me in so many ways. And I know the only spirit that helped me in those troubles was God. So, yeah, I trust him with all my heart.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Pastor Roland, I want to bring you in here. We're almost out of time, you all. So a servant of God, you know, like my life is modeled on two areas, and that's the New Testament. When it talks about the New Testament, it's about love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and the second is like unto it, love thy fellow man as thyself. Now, these are based on the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. And so I try to live or model my life, and I'm not saying that I get it right, of course not, but being, first of all, having that relationship with God, that's first and foremost. And then the second, like unto it, and then that's the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are about your relationship with God. The second six commandments are about your relationship with your fellow man. And so as a servant, the way that I interpret servant is you've got a relationship with God, but we're here to serve others. Serving God is to serve others. Pastor Roll, how do you look at it?
Okay, well, I just put it this way, and I hope it's understandable, you know, because we are very intelligent people. Child of God, servant of God, and friend of God, okay? They are three in one. You can't separate it. Don't even try to separate it. No more than a cell. A cell consists of protons, neutrons, and electrons. They are three in one. You can't separate them. They all work together. So, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is three in one. You can't separate them. They're all together. So I just want to, that's my parting comments, and if I don't get a chance to say anything else again, I just want to say you're doing a great work, Dr. Walker. Stay on the wall, and I want everybody to see what Dr. Walker is doing by going to improvingrelationships.info. Improving relationships, that's with an S on it, .info, and you'll see all that Dr. Walker is doing to support and to help the global communities. Improvingrelationships.info. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Well, we certainly do appreciate that, Pastor Roll. I want to go ahead and, Dr. Patty Cakes, I want to bring you back in here. We're just about out of time. And so we're talking about, can you be a friend of God? So when we talk about serving God, you know, praise and worship, serving God, but do you interpret that also, Dr. Patty Cakes, as when we're serving God, it's actually serving others? And I'll tell you why I say that. Because he says in Scripture, "And as much as ye have done it unto the least of them, my brethren, you have done it unto me." So if I interpret those scriptures as, if we're not doing things out there to help our fellow man, then we're going against the service of God that he intended for us to have. Dr. Patty Case, your thoughts on that?
That's such a powerful verse. And again, it's a conviction when you hear that. That's like something that people, I think, they don't oversee, but it's like not like the easiest topic that comes up, but it is so true. Like, that is absolutely serving God should be serving others, because his greatest commandment was to love one another. And it's like this world of this rat race, it's more stressful than ever with the cost of everything and the stress in the world. It's like, it's so easy to just be selfish in a good way, even though you're, you know, you have responsibilities for your young children and all these things. Like, that's the last thing you're thinking of. What can I do for other people? But that is God's nature. And I do believe that is what serving him, loving him and serving him is, to go hand in hand.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Susan, we want to bring you back in here just for a moment. We've got about 3 minutes before we end tonight's broadcast. And Susan, I want to bring you in here because now we're looking at this here as, you know, serving others, when we talk about serving others. So, Suzanne, if that's the case in serving others, is it possible then that when somebody is asking you, can I get $5 to get me a sandwich, and they're smoking a cigarette or drinking a beer, is it, and they're asking you because they're saying I'm hungry, is it your discretion to be judgmental and not give them because you're saying, well, if they can afford cigarettes and a beer, they don't need money for food? What do you do, Suzanne, in the case?
Well, I would either give it to them or I wouldn't.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if I had it, I probably would give it to them. It wouldn't matter that they were smoking a cigarette. It's on them.
Okay. So if you stuck around, if you were to stick around and they went in there and bought another, you know, now they got enough money to buy a six-pack of beer, how would you feel about that if you stuck around in your car just to see if they went in there and got to get a sandwich and they came out with a six-pack of beer?
Well, I would say, well, I know better next time if I see them again.
All right. So then, Suzanne, with that same person, but you go to another store now and somebody's smoking a cigarette, they don't have a beer in their hand, but they're asking you, Miss, can you spare $3? Because things have gone up now. So can you spare $3? But you know what happened to the last guy. What do you do now? Do you take it out on this guy?
No. If I'm at a register and I'm checking out, or someone is checking out ahead of me and they don't have the $3 or whatever, I have and I will tell the cashier, I'll take care of it. Just give it to him.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Suzanne. Dr. Patty Cakes, I want to bring you back in here just before we close out. Dr. Patty Cakes, same scenario with you. That one person you gave the $5 to comes out with a six-pack of beer, so now you go to two other stores and they're asking, ma'am, because things have now gone up, inflation's gone up, so they need $10 to get them something, but you saw the last person come out with a six-pack of beer. What do you do, Dr. Patty Cakes, in serving God?
Ooh, I don't know. So I must have missed something. So somebody went in with $10, and they undercharged you? Is that what happened?
No. You went to the store just to get something for, you know, just a quick run into the store, and this guy comes out, and he says, ma'am, can you spare $5? But he's smoking a cigarette, and he's got a beer in his hand. And so now, like Susan said, it's up to her whether she would give it to him. She'd probably give it to him. So now he comes out with a six-pack of beer this time with the $5 you just gave him. So now what do you do? Is it your position to judge him on what he does with the money? Because now you go to another store and somebody asks you, Miss, things have gone up. Can you spare $10 But this person doesn't have a beer. They have a cigarette. They're smoking. And it says, I want to get me something to eat. And a good meal costs $5. So what do? Dr. Patty Case, quickly.
What I do is I typically go through the drive-thru and I'll get a meal and I'll get some food. No,
oh,
seriously.
I see.
And then a lot of times people are disappointed with that.
They really are.
Like
Chick-fil-A,
lemonade. I mean, that's a great meal, Chick-fil-A, you know? And
yeah.
We've done that several times. And, I mean, I feel like it's so hard to say, like, what should you do in that moment? And I certainly feel bad when I see, I saw a family on the side of the road with a stroller and several kids with a sign, and it, like, I just didn't know what to do. You know, it's tough.
All right. So had you known if they were angels, wouldn't you have done something, Dr. Pettigate? If you had an go ahead. What'd you say?
Sometimes when you look at them and you see, like, when you're driving by a homeless person and you look in their eyes, especially if it's an older gentleman with, like, a beard, sometimes I look at them and be like, is that, like, Jesus? You know what I mean? Like, is that, like, God looking at you right now? You know, if you drive by this person in your nice car in air conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And then there's, like, a safety issue, especially being a woman, you know, sometimes I get nervous, like rolling down the window or even just for things like that. And it's like, that's just tough. But yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, trust
and
me.
That's
yeah,
a very good way
an
to I think
yeah.
that we should all exercise caution before anything else. I really do believe in that. Listen, we're completely out of time. You all, I want to thank everybody that joined us tonight. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. Those of you all we weren't able to get to, we certainly hope that you'll call in early enough and press 1 on your dial if you want to be able to chime in. Listen, we're completely out of time, and we're going to be here tomorrow morning from 6:30 to 8:30 on our Miracle Prayer Day. The topic will be recognizing the power and wisdom of God to transform our lives. Our focal point will be what it means to know the love of God. So you don't want to miss tomorrow morning's program. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, we'll be back here next Thursday and next Friday. So until tomorrow morning or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Dr. Walker.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, all.
Good night, everybody.